Every worship service at Daleville Christian Church includes a statement of our faith, an affirmation of our faith, always from God's Word. Today's affirmation of our faith is from the Gospel of John in the first chapter, the first five verses, and including verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word is from the letter of the Colossians, letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, just the first two verses, but then verses 17 through 25. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. We're continuing to talk about new life in Jesus Christ. Easter means new life for us, and we are several weeks past Easter, but still understanding this new life in Christ. Because what we've discovered is that new life and how to live a new life might not be all that clear to us. And we've talked about why that might be true for us. People in the Midwest have gotten the impression that life can be divided up into doing wrong and doing right. And therefore, we wind up believing that we are doing what pleases God if we just stop doing wrong things. Well, that's probably a good start in living a new life. But simply stopping wrong behavior is hardly a new life that Jesus came to give us, and Jesus wanted us to have life to the full. Certainly for addicts, new life means no longer serving the addiction, but it doesn't stop there. Stopping the abuse of substance or experience is only the first step in a new life for addicts. Surely and clearly, for people with pathologies with violence or other behavior problems, new life means finding new ways to get through life. But utilizing a Christian word, there has to be a repentance, which literally means turning away from one pathway and going another pathway. But you definitely take another pathway. You just don't stop in the road. Repentance means turning from one pathway and going another pathway. And that's true for all of us who want to live a new life. It's not true just for addicts. It's true for all of us who want that new life. Now, in the town of Colossae, there was some confusion in the church of what this new life in Christ might look like. Paul's church in Colossae was made up of a lot of former pagans, so some of them thought that since they knew how to be good pagans, fasting and abstaining, observing festivals and so on, that they knew how to be good Christians. Paul says that they're wrong about that. Being a good pagan does not translate into being a good Christian. Paul had to tell them there was no rule book or requirements for new life, and certainly not dietary or calendar rules. He told them, live your lives in Christ, rooted in Christ, built up in Christ. Paul then says, don't be deceived by human tradition. Now, we tend to think of pagans as wild people. We tend not to think that pagans might be people who practiced giving up food or giving up sex. But those pagans did. And some of them claimed that following Jesus required the same thing. Paul says plainly and clearly, new life in Christ is not about what you eat and drink, or when you celebrate a festival, or a Sabbath, or even the importance of angels. New life in Christ is not about what you eat or what you drink or when you celebrate a festival or a Sabbath or even the importance of angels. Paul asks directly, why do you submit to rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Why would you do that? That isn't what life in Christ is about. Paul reemphasizes for the church people, you died with Christ. You are raised with Christ to new life. So live in Christ. Don't live by rules. Now, this may sound strange to some of us because somewhere we got the impression that following Jesus was all about rules. Following Jesus was probably about even more rules than not following Jesus. The Apostle Paul would have been shocked to hear any of us say that. That following Jesus has to do about rules and probably more rules. Not only would the Apostle Paul have been shocked to hear us say that, he would be grieved to hear us say that. Paul wrote, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. That's the reading today. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, all the pagan rules were about earthly things. Food, sex, holidays. But you all have a new life. New life means a really new life. And the Apostle Paul lists in his third chapter particular ways of life that are changed, particular ways of life that are altered, particular ways of life that are transformed by a new life in Christ. Being a wife, being a husband, being a father, being a mother, being a slave, and consequently even being a slave owner is changed if you have a new life in Christ. Now, I've set the stage for understanding today's verses, but I want to take a bigger picture of the Bible before we go on this Mother's Day. We Americans who started this whole Mother's Day celebration thing, and it started in a church by a woman whose mother was also a Sunday school teacher. So Anna Jarvis's view of motherhood was pretty rose-colored, wouldn't you say? I mean, not all mothers are Sunday school teachers. Plenty of moms today never went to Sunday school. Millions have never been inside a church. Well, the Bible knows that. Anna Jarvis may not have been thinking that way, but the Bible is reality-based. In the Bible, you will find mothers who abandon their children, women who in tears cannot have children, women who adopt children, and mothers whose children turn out terribly. The Lord God will even say, if your mother abandons you, I, the Lord, will not abandon you. The Lord God will say, even if you're no one's child, I want you to be my child. God knows what this world is like. God knows what we have turned this world into. So our Bibles say that God will nurture us. The great prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And then apparently Isaiah thought about the question, realized the answer is yes. Yes, a mother can forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born. Because then Isaiah declared, though she may forget, I, the Lord, will not forget you. Now, I didn't carefully check these next verses, but God declares himself to be for the fatherless, even declaring himself father to the fatherless. And of course, a person without a father is not merely an orphan, but in ancient Bible times, an orphan is impoverished and destitute. There are more than 20 references in God's Word for God's people to provide for the fatherless. And as Isaiah declares, the Lord God will be mother and father to orphans. Jesus himself told the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, when we look at today's verses, I would have us notice a few things, and I have a couple of questions. But the key to the whole thing we read today, the whole set of verses from chapter 3 of Colossians, the key is verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the verse that tells you about new life. Everything is supposed to be for Jesus. You do it all, everything, for Jesus. Then the apostle starts to get specific. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children. What I would notice is how we, as a Christian culture, or formerly Christian culture, have always focused on verse 18 and 20, that is, we've always focused on wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, and children, obey your parents, and pretty much dropped out verses 19 and 21 that say, husbands, love your wives, and fathers, do not embitter your children. We just skip over that. For example, where is the Christian outcry against violence against women? Where's the Christian outcry? Why do we as a culture still have to have shelters for women and children as victims of violence? And while we look at statistics, look at all the single moms in this country. Fathers are not so much embittering their children, they're abandoning them. Well, that's kind of a short look at those verses. But I want to expand this Mother's Day message to talk to more than moms and talk about more than moms. And new life moms. We want to talk about something for everyone. We're really talking about new life in Christ. Easter means we get a new life, so few people know how to live a new life in Christ. So let's talk about new life and prayer. Why? Because we often have heard about a mother's prayer. The great Saint Augustine says that his mother's prayers brought him to believe in Jesus Christ. He always credited her prayers with bringing him to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ and thereby win his salvation. So I share with you today the prayers of another mother. And I've mentioned her before, Mary Neal. Dr. Mary Neal is a practicing orthopedic surgeon, also was a practicing follower of Jesus before her accident and after her accident. She once experienced an accident that left her underwater for over 30 minutes. It should have killed her, but it didn't. But she said she saw heaven. Right after her accident, she wasn't out of the woods because once they got her to the hospital, her own doctor didn't think she would survive the night. Her body had suffered too much trauma. But she did survive. She believes she survived because people were praying for her. You see, she also believes she had a choice to go to heaven or stay on earth. She remembered hearing people calling to her to breathe. She didn't want to, but responded to their cry. So Mary Neal has some things to say about faith and prayer and surviving and being a mom. Her first comment's kind of funny. She said that a friend of hers later told her that her friend thought that Mary survived the first night because with all those people praying for her, God would have been embarrassed to let Mary die. Mary wrote, I don't know about that. But God's compassion certainly reinforce the power of prayer to everyone involved. Mary Neal does remember that her eyesight had been affected for a short time by the accident. She remembers that she could not focus to read, but she had a few verses of Scripture, short ones, which she did focus on. One of them was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which simply says, "Pray without ceasing." Mary Neal says, "Prayer is the way we are able to communicate with our Lord." This verse directs us to maintain a continually open line of communication with the Lord. She wrote that this verse and two other brief verses are far-reaching and summarize much of what God asks of us. She goes on to say, "In the past, I had believed in the power to pray for oneself, to pray for forgiveness or for change or for insight and so forth. I had subscribed to the concept that prayer does not change the outcome of a situation, but it changes us in the process. And while I still hold firmly to my belief in that aspect of prayer, I have subsequently realized that it does not represent the whole story. I had now personally experienced Jesus' promise that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. And the remarkable power of people praying for the well-being of others." Let me finish here with some of her concluding thoughts about her experience of seeing heaven and how it affected her thinking and her life. "No matter what the circumstances, we can be grateful that God fulfills His promises, that our faith is sufficient to sustain us, and that our eternal life is assured. We, as single threads in a great and beautiful tapestry that our God is making of our lives, we spend our lives worrying about our thread, what color the thread is, how pretty that thread might be, how long that thread might be, even becoming upset if the thread becomes torn or tattered or frayed. But the complete tapestry is far too large for us to see, of too complex a pattern for us to appreciate the importance of our single thread. Regardless, without our individual contribution, the tapestry would be incomplete and broken. We should therefore recognize and take joy in our contribution. Indeed, our threads, our lives are important. What we do and the choices we make, even the seemingly small ones, actually make a difference." Dr. Neal concluded, "Our only reasonable option is to rely on the Word of God and to rely on the promises of God." To that, I can only add, Mom says, Amen.